Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch my draft here at Wham Talk 1600. You can catch podcasts of the show Saturday and Sunday evenings at rednationrising.us. So check it out if you miss the show here. You can catch it on podcast. rednationrising.us, a great little place for some conservative news and commentary. All right, so let's take care of a little business. Brighton Ford. If you're in the market for a new or used car, and it doesn't have to be a Ford, they got a great selection of used cars out there, head up to Brighton Ford. You can go to their website, brightonford.com, or call 1-800-494-2175. And if you need any service work, you can go to thecurrentonline.com and download the back page of The Current, the August edition. And they've got tire rotations for $16.95, the Works Fuel Saver Package for $29.95, 10% off all parts, pothole specials, vehicle owner programs, you name it, get it done at Brighton Ford. Again, that's brightonford.com, 800-494-2175. I think I've bought four or five cars. I think I'm on my fifth car out of Brighton Ford right now. So great place to get your service work done and buy a used or new vehicle. So there you go. All right. So what we do on the Drift every weekend is go over the news that we've put on the Daily Drift. And if you're not going to the Daily Drift, you should be. It's www.thedailydrift.com, and it's the news you need to know. So make sure you're doing that. And if you want to advertise in the Current newspaper, I haven't advertised this in a while, but get into the Current newspaper. We've grown 500% over the last 11 years, and it's a great place to grow your business. CurrentOnline.com, that's CourantOnline.com. You can call me, 734-629-6010, and I can get you into the paper. Great place to be. And we've got a special guest calling in today, 7th District U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg. Tim, welcome to the show.
Gary, it's good to be with you.
You too. Glad to hear from you.
Well, you know, it's good to hear from a lot of people at various times, but in this case, I'll take that as a compliment and an opportunity to talk through issues.
There's not many people I like in Washington, Tim, so you're one of them. You know, it's always good. I got two good things that I wanted to deal with you. Is there anything before we get into that, get wrapped up? Is there something you wanted to bring to our attention?
No, I guess it's your time with concerns that you have and your listeners have. You've been talking with them. They've been talking to you. They've expressed concerns. So I guess I'd rather talk about that. We certainly can talk about some of the things relative to Iran and the hostage payments.
You're reading my mind. It's like you're looking at my my agenda right here. But first, I want to start with some Syrian refugees, and I ran across something I put on the Daily Drift. Derek, do you have track one ready? I want you to listen to this, Tim, and then tell me how it's going from what on your end, what you've seen in Washington. Listen to this.
Despite promises of European Union member states to take in 160,000 refugees, a new report shows that they've accepted a fraction, 6,000, while the United States has embraced 8,000 of a planned 10,000 this year. As President Obama, backed by Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton, has ramped up accepting refugees fleeing Syria and other war-torn nations, the EU has put the brakes on hard, apparently bowing to public outrage.
All right, so Tim, I know they were kind of putting the screws to you guys in Congress to fund this. You know, what's the state of this? And I think when she said 8,000, I thought I had seen an article the other day that said Obama had already reached his 10,000. He had already surpassed that many coming into the country. You know, with vetting is still not where it needs to be. Has Congress made any attempt to curtail the budgeting for this, or can you?
Yeah, we have, and we passed it in the House, a hold on bringing in any further Syrian refugees until such time as the director of the FBI, the director of Homeland Security, and the CIA would come up with a plan that they would approve and then present to Congress for our approval. That passed the House, and has died so far in the Senate. So a number of these refugees that have come through are people that were in the pipeline even before all of this, opposition started. But other than that, we have not been successful in getting the Senate to approve what we sent to them and then sent to the White House. So it's going on according to Hoyle, the President's Hoyle, with resources that he has. Frankly, when we asked Comey, who I have a bit of a problem with now, I used to respect him highly, but after what he did with Hillary Clinton, I'm not quite as positive anymore. But back then, when we asked him point blank, do we have the vetting capabilities in a time when we literally do not know who would come from Syria and what they would say, would it be true or not? Do we have vetting capabilities? He said, absolutely not. And I think that's a situation we're in still right now, which caused me great concern is to see the genocide going on, mass genocide over Christians and non-Muslims in Syria. Yet we are not willing to push back and say, for the time being, until we get this under control, we're going to have to deal with it in a more appropriate way, and that's not bring them in.
Yeah, it seems like every other week I'm getting something for the Daily Drift that shows, you know, out of the 8,000 refugees we've taken in from Syria, like 25 of them are Christians and the rest are all Muslims. It's the Christians that are in danger. If we're really doing this to help people who are in danger, why is such a skewed? I mean, shouldn't it at least be a 50-50 mix? If you want to be PC and everything else, make it a 50-50 mix. But it seems like the people that are in the most danger, the Christians, the people being set on fire, being decapitated, being murdered, are the Christians. And yet only 25 out of 8,000 that they've brought in so far are Christian.
Yeah, and of course the genocide that's taken place, there are a lot less Christians there now. But this administration is not going and seeking advice, consent, and counsel from Christian leaders. Catholics, Protestant groups that are there and are willing to give counsel on who needs to be cared for and brought in, and that's one of the main reasons. It just seems like this administration has turned a deaf ear toward the cries of those that are non-Muslims and are being brutally slaughtered in horrific ways. It actually is a genocide. It's a Holocaust that's going on. We will see a birthplace of Christianity in much of that region of the world. We will see it just blotted out. It's a sad, sad state of affairs with lines in the sand that this president has put and let evaporate. And there seems to be no interest in moving forward to something aggressive.
Yeah. Well, I guess if there's a bright spot to this particular story, at least Europe is finally seeing the light, maybe. I mean, if they can see the light as crazy as they are, maybe eventually we'll see the light here, too. Maybe a new change in administration will help that along. But it's amazing. It always comes down to the same thing, though. Tim, every time we have you on, you guys are doing work in the House. The House is passing, I don't know, 400 or 500 bills that seem to stall.
Yeah,
that stalling in the Senate.
40 come from the Senate.
Oh, and it doesn't matter whether it was Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid in charge or whether it's now Mitch McConnell in charge. It's still not getting done. Is it because we need more Republicans in the Senate? Is that what's keeping this from happening?
Well, we would need six more conservatives at least because it takes 60 votes to get a bill up under the Senate rules, a bill up for debate. So Harry Reid, even though he's a minority leader for the last 2 years, still has the capability of holding those six votes from the Democrat side and not allowing cloture to take place. That ends a quasi-filibuster, a virtual filibuster, and allows debate. That's our challenge. And frankly, that's not the way the system is supposed to work. The Senate does have the ability of filibuster. They are supposed to be a deliberate body, and they're supposed to be able to take the hot coffee that's sloshed into the saucer from the cup and cool it down a bit and, if necessary, make it better. But it's not supposed to be a place where it simply stops so that the president doesn't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
That's one thing, Gary, I can tell you, that Donald Trump gets because Paul Paul Ryan has communicated with him very clearly that we want to work together as a team. We want you to be president. But you need to understand, if you do executive orders that step outside of your boundaries in Article 2 powers in the Constitution and take the Article 1 powers in your hands that only we have as we represent the people, we will join the Democrats to stop you, unlike what's gone on with this president where the Democrats have just stonewalled. And that will be good for the constitutional work. But I think Donald Trump has very clearly indicated to us he understands it, he gets it. And that's why on several occasions when we met with him, he said, that's where I go to Paul, or that's where I seek counsel from the Speaker. That's where we work together on trying to solve this problem. And if that's the case, our constitutional democracy will then work again.
Yeah.
But if it continues on like this with this administration that simply says, I have a pen and a phone, and I'll do anything I want, even if it's not in my powers under the Constitution, that's a sure way to break down the freedom, the opportunity, and the success that this country offers.
Yeah. It's the one thing I will say, and this is my belief. I could be completely wrong, but my belief is that Trump has an ability, because I think, you know, if there's something being held up, I think whether it's a Democrat or Republican, he's going to use social media. He's going to go right to the people. He'll probably end up hanging out in the state of the representative or senator who's not doing their job and bully them through social media to get people fired up and start calling the office. I'm hoping that's what he's done. He's done it so well so far that I think if he were to become president and, you know, find a Debbie Stabenow or a Gary Peters who, you know what, I can't believe there's not six senators in the Senate with enough common sense to say, listen, we should probably hold off on immigration because, number one, we've got, especially here in Michigan, a lot of people who still are not working. I mean, in Detroit, we've got some huge unemployment rates, and yet we're still bringing in refugees from other countries who will work cheaper than our poor people in the inner city. So I don't understand why you can't get a Debbie Stabenow or Gary Peters to say, all right, I'll work with you, Tim, on this one, because you know what? It really makes sense. It's like that EMP we talked about the last time. Give us the funding to protect the American people with safeguarding the grid, you know?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, right now, just for a practical example, the Zika bill has been held up in the Senate. They say that they're going to get it up in September, but we have Miami and other parts of Florida basically being closed down and tourists getting fearful to go there because of the Zika mosquitoes. And the House passed $1.1 billion of funding for Zika, as well as lifting some disabilities in spraying capabilities. And we sent it to the Senate. Sent it before we left in July, end of July, to come home for the August in-district period, and they just filibustered it and kept it from coming up. That's the type of the stuff that goes on that just defies description on why people who have been elected by their states to represent the individuals of their states can't do things without being totally political. And we have several other great bills that we work through in a bipartisan fashion in the House with Democrats and Republicans working together to get those things passed. And Harry Reid keeps his six votes, and we can't get him up for debate, and people are dying potentially now because of Zika.
And that's because the Democrats are trying to protect Planned Parenthood funding, right, with the Zika?
Yeah. They want to add amendments to a number of bills, mental health bill, Zika bill, that have nothing to do with the issue we're trying to fix. But they're trying to jack it around and hold it hostage until we give in. And frankly, the American public is telling us don't give in. And so that's again why we sent it to the Senate. We went home.
Yeah.
And the president could stand up now rather than golfing and being on vacation. They could say, we've got a problem in Louisiana. We also got a problem in Florida. We have two cases now that are recorded in Michigan, including one in Monroe, my district.
Yeah.
It was a traveler issue, but nonetheless, Zika is impacting American citizens and will impact American babies, unnecessarily so, simply because this president and the Senate Democrats are whistling while the nation is burning.
Yeah. I wish, this is the one thing I wish, if you see Paul Ryan, tell him, we need to see him more on the news, because I'd love to see him sit there on Fox or MSNBC or CNN and say, listen, the House has done our job. We passed CECA funding. The Democrats want us fund more money to Planned Parenthood, so they're playing funny games with it. I'm not hearing that. You're the only one that tells me that. And that's when you come on this show, which has 18 listeners, whatever. I want to see more of that on the news, you know.
Well, Paul is out and about. It's amazing how many programs he's on. But what is frustrating, I heard him publicly state on Sean Hannity's show, for instance, one night early on after he becomes speaker, saying, Sean, tell you what, anytime you want to have me on and our schedules don't absolutely convict, I want to be on this show. I've seen Paul on one other time. He gave Sean a lesson on what mandatory spending is versus discretionary spending, specifically relative to Obamacare. And Sean said, I didn't know that. Well, appreciate that. 2 days later, he was giving out the same garbage he's given before, after the lesson that Paul gave him. And Paul hasn't been on any time since. And so if your listeners can write into, text, call into Sean Hannity's show and say, ask the speaker to be on. He wants to be on. That'll help us.
Okay, we can do that. And here's another idea, Tim. Maybe it's time we take our PACs and start doing commercials on these individual bills and packages to sway American opinion. You know what I mean? Because it seems like, you know, those of us in the know are fine, but the average American's not paying enough attention to the ZECA funding. They'll hear that soundbite on the news, but they don't know that it's being held up because of game playing in politics. You know, maybe it's time to have just that 30-second spot saying, we want this ZECA funding. The Democrats are holding it up and have a PAC that can pay for that. I know it's money, but still.
Yeah, we have two other bills that are so important that were passed a long time ago. And one was the mental health bill. It was a bipartisan bill. We've been working on it for over 6 years. Finally got it through. It's sitting in the Senate. The second one has been even longer. Our own Fred Upton from Michigan, chairman of Energy and Commerce, worked aggressively to get the Senate Century 21 Cures bill through that really puts funding and implementation processes for getting at the issues of curable diseases and using our National Institutes of Health appropriately and not wasting dollars on some crazy studies, but putting it toward the things that will help cure people with Parkinson's and juvenile diabetes and those type of things. That bill has been held up for a long period of time. One other thing I'll point out to you, you can go to my website, walberg.house.gov. That's my official website, and it'll link you to a proposal that we put out for people to take shots at or to say, great. It's called betterway.gop, and it's our agenda that deals with health care reform, that deals with comprehensive tax reform, that deals with security and defense, that deals with the whole issue of how we take back Article I powers and control the bureaucrats, constitutional authority. Those type of things are in that better way agenda proposal that we have. And if you don't hear it talked of, it's not that we aren't trying, but you can go directly to our website. You can read about it and decide if you like it.
Okay. So for our listeners, we're talking with 7th District U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg. And Tim, you mentioned right at the beginning this $400 million ransom that we paid. I call it iRansom on Twitter. Yes or no? Was it ransom? To me, everything looks like ransom.
Well, John Kerry, Secretary of State, this last week in responding on that issue, point blank said that we held the $400 million till the hostage was released. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a duck. If the $400 came subsequent to the release of hostages, what would you or me or your listeners call it? We'd call it ransom. And that's against all our national policy long term. And this president has not told us the truth. And now John Kerry, mistakenly or otherwise, let it out of the bag that indeed it was money given after and held till those hostages were released. And subsequent to that, Iran has taken more hostages. So exactly what we don't want to happen, and the reason why we don't give ransom, is now developing into the problem of more hostages.
Yeah,
it is absolutely stupid.
I worry about, Americans anywhere in the globe now, be it in Asia, be it in Europe, being it anywhere, that it's open season on Americans now because we're going to pay. Why wouldn't we? It may take a while, but they're going to pay.
Absolutely. You know, I have a family member that lives in Africa and full-time for 13 years. And as a father, I'm so proud of this this child of mine and what they're doing. But I tell you what, when I hear of ransom payments and then ultimately more hostages being taken, that gives me pause. And it puts me on my knees more praying for my family member. But nonetheless, it's something that if we do this, we will reap the negative benefits that we in the past have said that's why we don't do it. Because once we start doing it, you can't stop the hostage taking.
Right. All right. Were you in town when Trump came into town last night?
I wasn't in Diamonddale. That's in my district. And would have loved to have been there. We had a meeting dealing with another exasperating situation with Customs and Border Patrol that stopped an economic opportunity a couple weeks ago at the Port of Monroe and the Port of Detroit for a shipment coming in for General Motors that had car parts that would have been unloaded in the Port of Monroe, which has huge economic impact. From that have been trucked to the plants for assembly because Customs and Border would not work with us on that situation. It ended up being sent to Port of Cleveland because General Motors finally had to pull the plug and said, we can't wait anymore. This ship is coming in, and we better have a place to get it. So it was unloaded in Cleveland, put on trucks, and then transported on roads, putting more potholes down potentially, as opposed to bringing it into the Great Lakes and the Lake Erie and the Port of Monroe in my district and being a boon for future industrial development.
Right.
As well.
So I was there
dealing with that.
So once again, our business and jobs are being screwed over by more government regulation.
Bureaucrats.
Yeah. I will say this. If Trump is elected, I'm hoping. That's my hope, Tim. Do you think we can actually, when you and I met, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, whenever that was, the one thing that really made me support you was I had said something about getting rid of the Department of Energy, and you said, yes, let's get rid of the Department of Commerce or something, too. And I went, that's the guy that I like. Because do we really have a shot at cutting government if we have a Trump presidency?
Well, I think we ought to learn from what took place with President Bush when we had control of both houses for a period of his administration. And we didn't rein in the Department of Education. We didn't rein in the EPA, though we've reined them in the last 6 years to the tune that they're now at 1989 staffing levels. But that's been difficult to do. But it can be done. And so the Department of Education really ought to be abolished. Department of Commerce, that's what states do in their commerce. That's not for the federal government. And then we got to decide whether we want a Department of Energy or Department of EPA. They're both doing the same thing. We're not producing any energy, and we're making all sorts of environmental protection problems that are hurting us in increasing not only our energy but our employment. So with a Trump who says, I will sign this if you move it forward, then we have the incentive with American people getting behind us to start, at the very least, downsizing and controlling these people and putting the regulatory responsibility back in the Congress as opposed to bureaucrats.
Yeah, great. Tim, so it's great. I'm trying to be positive and optimistic for this election, but there are a lot of days I'm just down, and I'm feeling pretty confident for you. If there's anything else we can do to help you get reelected, but gosh knows we can't have that lady take your spot. So anything
Gary,
do to help you out,
Gary,
we will.
I appreciate that, and I just tell your listeners, remember that. I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be worried and frustrated and confused, but we are Americans, and ultimately we roll up our sleeves and get things done. You know, this issue, it comes down to my race. Who's going to be the Speaker of House vote? That'll be the first vote that we take. If it's my opponent, she will vote for Nancy Pelosi. We know how well that worked out when Nancy Pelosi was Speaker.
Yep.
You don't want that again.
Right.
With Donald Trump, there are a lot of concerns with Donald Trump, but doggone it, Donald Trump will work a lot better than Clinton.
Yep.
And the Congress will work better with Trump than with Clinton.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tim, and hopefully we'll hear from you again soon.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. And we'll see you on the other side.
People are always on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for the latest issues, discussed by hosts like Joe Pags, Fayrone X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business with Wham Radio and whamradio.com. whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Joe Chiro. The colossal fire east of Los Angeles is now 68% contained.
It's starting to cool down, which is a great plus for us. The winds are starting to die down a little bit. Our biggest challenge, it's the weekend, roads are full, and then also as we repopulate, people are going to be coming back into those areas.
Fire spokesman Eric Coffin, some evacuees might be allowed to return home tonight. A huge fish kill in Montana is blamed on a parasite. It's also prompted wildlife officials to indefinitely close nearly 200 miles of the Yellowstone River and some other waterways.
Scientists are searching for a cause, including wildfires, and a boat exposed elsewhere wasn't cleaned before launching in the Yellowstone River. The fish were weakened by low water levels, high water temperatures, and stress from fishing and rafting.
Fox's Sharon Katchen. State officials fear the closure could devastate businesses. Fox News, we report. You decide.
A&H Lawn Service in Saline serves all of Southeast Michigan. Co-founders Tim and Brandon have been offering professional lawn maintenance since 1991. Landscape construction, lawn and landscape maintenance, irrigation systems, winterizing, and snow removal. Let A&H Lawn Service help your business with landscaping solutions for today and tomorrow. Tim and Brandon have the professional experience you can count on. Call them today at 734-429-5778. See how their business can help your business. Visit A&H Lawn Service online at ahlawncare.com. Better yet, call Tim and Brandon today at 734-429-5778. Find out how they can make your business look a whole lot better. That's A&H Lawn Service, ahlawncare.com.
Hi, I'm Tim Austin, the A in A&H Lawn Service. Brandon and I started our landscape business in 1991 and grown our business into a full-service landscape and landscape maintenance company. We would love to add your name to our list of happy customers.
Finding a good mechanic is like finding a good barber or a good doctor. When you find one, you don't go anyplace else. Japanese Auto Professional Service of Ann Arbor at 563 South Main Street are the mechanics you'll go back to time and time again, providing reliable, dependable, and guaranteed auto repair and service for Honda, Toyota, Nissan, Subaru, Kia, Hyundai, any make and model. Japanese Auto Professional Service of Ann Arbor will do it right the first time, every time. It's no small wonder that Jay, Joe, and crew have been in business since 1979. They've built a solid and loyal customer base, and once you visit them, you'll find out why. It's more important now than it has ever been to provide excellent customer service and care, and that's just what you get at Japanese Auto Professional Service of Ann Arbor. And they don't cost an arm or a leg. They're beyond reasonably priced. Japanese Auto Professional Service of Ann Arbor. Schedule your first visit today. Call Japanese Professional Auto Service of Ann Arbor today, 734-996-4606. That's 734-996-4606.
It's Monday morning. You send your kids off to school to learn and play. Then you head off to work to provide for your family. Finally, it's the weekend. You go to church, shopping at the mall, and maybe to the movie theater. Sounds like typical American plans, right? Unfortunately, sometimes evil steps in, and daily life is forever altered. No one thinks it'll happen to them, to their family, in their town, until it does.
Mass killings are too often the headline on the evening news, and we feel helpless to stop them. The answer to stopping these tragedies isn't to take away our Second Amendment rights. The answer is to add Templar integrated security solutions to our lives. To find out how to help create safe havens in your weekly schedule, visit TemplarISS.com. That's TemplarISS.com, because rapid responses save lives.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch My Drift here at Wham Talk 1600. And remember, you can catch the podcast of this show at rednationrising.us in the evenings, Saturday and Sundays. So check them out, rednationrising.us. All right, let's take care of a little business. AAA Service Network. I know it's summertime still and it's hot, but your furnaces are going to be needed not too far in the future. And if you have air conditioning repairs or water heater repairs or anything else, AAA Service Network is the company you should be going to. 1-800-FIX-IT-NOW. That's 1-800-FIX-IT-NOW.com. Or you can call 734-663-6200. That's 734-663-6200. You can see in the current newspaper, go to currentonline.com. You can download all the coupons they have there, $20 off a water softener service, which is something you need to do. Air condition repair, $20 off, $100 off sump pump repair with battery. So make sure you get all those kind of things tidied up before wintertime comes. AAA Service Network, that's www.1800fixitnow.com. Okay, so before we get back into the show, we're going to take a call from Ken, who's had something weighing heavily on his conscience since last week. Ken, welcome to the show. You had something you wanted to clarify from us from last week.
Yes, one of your callers was confused about why sometimes on your show I describe myself as a Trinitarian, and then recently I've been describing myself as a Orthodox Lutheran. And I just wanted to clarify something for your listener.
Okay.
Trinitarian is someone who believes in the triune God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three distinct personalities within one Godhead. Well, a Trinitarian, Orthodox Lutherans are Trinitarian. Roman Catholics are Trinitarian. Baptists are Trinitarian. Presbyterians are Trinitarian. Anglicans are Trinitarian. Episcopalians are Trinitarian. And I just wanted to say to that caller, I haven't caused any kind of conflict when I said that I was a Trinitarian. Yes, I am a Trinitarian, but I'm also a Orthodox Lutheran. They're the same thing.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up for us, Ken. Let me ask you this then. So, based on those comments last week, I hate to open up the religious factor again, but here we are. I'm an Episcopalian by nature. I guess I was baptized Episcopalian. Does that mean you and I can sit down and pray together if we so were inclined, or could we not do that?
We okay. I can be friends. I can have you over for dinner as what you are, Episcopalian. What the problem is that I cannot pray with you. I cannot go to church with you. There's an old saying that says that whose altar you worship, their doctrine you approve of.
So hold on, let me just simplify this real quick then. So you believe in God, right?
Yes.
And I believe in God. You believe in Christ?
Yes, I believe in Christ.
And I believe in Christ. So okay, I'm not going to beat you up on. I just, you know, we're that close together. I can't imagine if we were in a foxhole somewhere, you and I couldn't pray together. You know what I mean? Because I think we would, right? Let's be honest with each other. If we were in the middle of a battle, you and I in the trenches somewhere, and we wanted to pray together, I'm sure we would, right?
Yes and no.
Okay, I won't make you explain any longer.
It's just that from if you ever get a chance to go on the internet. Just so you can understand me, type in the Book of Concord.
Book of Concord. Okay.
And the Book of Concord is the official doctrine of the Orthodox Lutherans.
Okay.
And just for clarification, just so you understand, there again, I can be friends with you and I can have you over for dinner. But one thing I cannot do is tolerate false teaching.
Right.
And this occurs with joint worship.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine, Ken. I understand. You got to have thick skin to call into this show, as you well know. So I do appreciate it, and make sure you
call
me again.
Just one other thing.
Yeah.
Just so people don't get too mad at me.
Nobody's mad at me.
I've been going through the Lutheran Confessions very detailed recently. Our beliefs is that when we go and vote for someone to represent us, a ruler, they have to be someone that is a godly man, as we see it, as someone who subscribes to the truth. when it comes to the correct teachings of doctrine.
Right. Which means you can't vote for Trump.
I can't.
Okay.
I want to, believe me, I want to. Hillary Clinton must never be president.
Well, all I'm going to say, Ken, is what did we talk about last week? We're going to pray for you that you find some loophole that you can vote for him. That's all I can say. Thanks again, Carl. I appreciate it. And don't let that weigh so heavily on you. You can always send me an email, too.
Well, you take care of yourself.
You too, Ken. Take care. Let's take a call from Will in Ypsilanti. Will, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gary. I got to make this a my Saturday kind of thing, brother, because I really like what you do here.
Well, I'm glad you like it. Call in more often.
And I went on your website. You got a fantastic website, brother.
Oh, well, thank you. There you go. There's the plug. www.thedailydrift.com. Thanks, Will. Appreciate it.
There you go. Why I'm calling is when you were talking to Tim Walberg.
Yes.
How frustrated I was at what is happening in D.C., you know, I mean, hundreds of miles from home, and he sounded flustered because he's, you know, they say this common sense legislation, and yet he, on the other side, what did he say that Harry, or is he in the House or the Senate?
Harry Reid is the minority leader in the Senate.
In the Senate, okay, so he's got Harry Reid holding up things that we need, you know, some of the things that he was talking about, vetting and so forth. Why would you do that? You know, why would you hold this up? And I feel for all of our, I guess, conservative people like you and I that go out there and do the dirty work in Washington, D.C. And then they come home and they feel frustrated, and we wonder why they can't get anything done.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, here, the Congress has done its share. I mean, they did it, I think, even they've gotten a lot done since when Boehner was there, and now that Paul Ryan's there. And I think he even got things done when Pelosi was there. But if the Senate has been dragging its feet, there are literally over 400 bills that went up there, and didn't matter whether it was Harry Reid in charge with the majority when they had it, or now Mitch McConnell's got it. The fact that they can't find six bloody senators willing to go either way, use a little common sense. You know, for me, why don't they keep these things narrow? Say, you know what? There's no amendments. This is it. We're going to vote on this item, $5 billion to harden the grid. No amendments, nothing. Can we all agree to do one bloody thing that makes sense? Please. And they can't. Right. These dirty buggers have to keep putting amendments on for their special interests. And that's why they all need to be turned out. And that includes Debbie Stabenow in 2018. That woman is a special interest. You know, the farmers keep voting for her here in Michigan. Let me tell you, Mr. Farmer, she's going to screw you eventually. And she needs to be turned out of office. And I would like one Michigan person who's got a little common sense to run for her spot. And I will support them because she has to be turned out of office.
Oh, I agree with everything you just said, too. And she is, you know, what we have here between her and Gary Peters. And then on the other side, we've got, you know, familial stuff with the Dingles continuously going. And and you said the biggest thing, it's the special interest. Who is a special interest that doesn't want to harden the grid?
Exactly. Exactly. You know? But, you know, that's the point. They'll play their games to throw an amendment on there that's got nothing to do with hardening the grid. It's going to be a little pork. You know, they got rid of the pork, the earmarks and whatnot. But now they've just changed it over with something else. And that's the problem. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that Mitch McConnell and Harry Reid can't look at the bill that the Congress sent up and say, listen, let's just harden the grid. Can we please agree? No amendments. Let's fix it and let's get it passed and let's harden the grid. Because you know what? If we get a solar flare, which we're overdue for a giant solar flare, if we get a solar flare that knocks out the grid, millions, they're talking like 25 to 30% of the population in the United States will starve to death before we get electricity back up and running and food running again. You know, that's why I hate centralized anything anymore, because it should be close to home. You want to be able to cook and find food close to home.
And, you know, Gary, on that point, you know, sometimes I just take a drive in the country, and so I'll see like a Mishcon, like a pumping area for natural gas, and another one will be like a power center out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
nothing around it. I mean, I could literally go over the fence and do some damage to it.
Yeah, yeah, it's that simple.
It really is. And the thing is why isn't Mitch McConnell, you know, sitting down there? What is he doing? Obviously, he's out of Kentucky, so he's not going to be doing anything for Michigan. But this isn't just Michigan; it's Kentucky. It's the entire United States. Something simple.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. It really is. And that's why, come election day, it's time to just get rid of some of these people who have not done anything. And that includes our senators. And let's hope the American people, if they vote Trump in, they're also going to take a good, healthy look at the senators that have done nothing and get rid of them as well.
Well, you know, the one thing, too, is I probably said this last week, too. You know, I was all in for Cruz. He didn't make it. Fine. So now I've thrown in my hat and everything I've got behind Trump because we can't. Cankles cannot go in.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my rant, brother.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, it's pretty obvious stuff that really needs to be happened. Well, here's another obvious. I wanted to get to this with Tim, but we couldn't get to it on time. The United States is going to relinquish control of the Internet. Imagine that. And so, Derek, you got track two ready there? Let's listen to what's going to happen here in a few months. And you're not really hearing about this too much on the mainstream media, but you need to know about it, and you need to be calling your senators and your congressmen about it. Play that track.
President Obama would say the Internet has become a universal thing. It's a global good. It's ubiquitous. It's a human right. And so every country should have a stake in governance. It should not just be the United States. And we've heard that from other countries as well. Countries like China and Russia have said that they want more of a voice in this process. And so that's kind of why President Obama has been pushing it so hard for the last several years.
Okay, so stop it right there for a second, Derek. Okay, so just because President Obama thinks it's more fair to give Russia and China and Iran a little more control? Really? Are you kidding me? China censors and controls their internet, right? And yet you want to give them control of it? All right, keep playing. I'm sure they're going to cover this.
They have a couple of objections. Number one is the kind of influence that countries like China or Russia or even Iran could exert over the Internet were they to have more control. And they also object on a constitutional basis. Article 4 of the U.S. Constitution prohibits the federal government from transferring property without congressional approval. Right now, the Department of Commerce is trying to transfer this on its own, and there has not been any congressional approval. What we're talking about doing is transferring the organization that controls the root zone file of the Internet. What that does is translate numerical codes into addresses that you can type in. So, for example, if you want to type in thedrudgereport.com, go to that website. You can do that right now instead of typing in 100 or 1,000 numbers or whatever to get there. It makes it something that we can comprehend and, you know, be able to connect with each other on the Internet. This organization would have the ability to either sabotage that or change it in ways that would make parts of the Internet inaccessible to us as it is today and prevent us from connecting with each other. So the fear is that China or Russia or Iran, were they able to accumulate enough power over this organization, they would be able to engage in the same type of censorship in the United States that they do in their own countries.
Okay.
Well, in the next couple of years, one of the first things we might see is that the physical facilities could move outside of the country. A letter sent a couple of months ago by some U.S. senators, led by Senator Ted Cruz, expressed the fear that if they were to move to China, they could literally end up in the same building as the Chinese censorship office responsible for censoring websites in that country, websites that include, for example, Facebook and Google. They could literally end up on the same floor as those responsible for preventing citizens there from looking at Western websites.
Okay, so let that sink in to you for a second here. The very fact that you can type Drudge Report or the Daily Drift or Breitbart News or whatever in there and it comes up and you expect it, that's not to be taken for granted and shouldn't be taken very lightly. Let me tell you a story. In 2004, I really got on the Internet. I had a computer that was capable of getting into the Internet way back in 2003, 2002, and I never went on it. And someone said to me, why aren't you going on the Internet, Gary? And I said, it's so slow. I can look it up in Yellow Pages quicker, you know. And they're like, well, what do you got? And I said, yeah, I got a 65 megahertz CPU, whatever, you know, and they're like, you're an idiot, Gary. You got to have a gig. I think at that time was what you had to have. And so I went and bought a new computer, right? It was $1,300, $1,400, I think, at the time. And the world opened for me. All of a sudden, I was all around the globe, websites, doing everything. And what a difference that made. I had no idea. But one of the things I ended up doing was I discovered YouTube, right? And so you're looking for a video or whatever. And I remember one time looking for a particular song, and every time I would hit this connection to try and listen to the song, I ended up getting Rickrolled, as they would call it. And I always went to Rick Astley's Better Live You Up, whatever that song is, Derek. Maybe you have to look that song up for me, Derek. And I couldn't understand. I'm like, I want to hear the song, and it keeps giving me Rick Astley's whatever. And somebody finally said to me, they said, oh, dude, you got Rickrolled. I'm like, what's Rickrolled? That means you keep – someone changed that code in there so that when you were looking for that, you would always – what's keeping China or Iran or Russia or anyone else? If it's going to be out of the country, it's going to be out of our control, right? I mean, why would you do that? Why in God's name would the American government want to give Iran, North Korea, China, Russia, the West Europeans, the East Europeans, anybody control it? Do you know what? You can say what you want about the United States. At least we're fair when it comes to the internet. We're not doing the kind of things that would screw people over, and that's what's happening. So why would you give that up? You need to be calling your senators, you need to be calling your congressmen, and you need to tell them, hey, don't give up. Do something to stop Obama and his executive orders giving away control of the internet. Why would you want Iran or Russia, for crying out loud? The same Democrats who are complaining that Russia's hacking their DNC emails and hacking everything else, are you're going to give them control of the internet? Really? Where's the common sense in that? And yet Barack Obama thinks it's the feel-good thing to do. Let's give away control to an international organization of some. Well, like who? The UN? Really? You want to give it to the UN? What have they done in Haiti? Ask yourself that. Ask how the UN performs in Africa. The UN is another useless international tool run by crony capitalists. You can't have that. It's just insane that people would even think about it. All right, well, let's move on to Hillary Clinton since we're here. And talk about her latest episode. The House is trying to hold her up for perjury since the FBI and Director Comey won't hold her responsible for what she did with the private email server and the disposal of 33,000 emails. House Republicans are looking at trying another venue to go after her. Derek, you got track three ready? Let's play that.
Two leading House Republicans urged the Justice Department to file perjury charges against Hillary Clinton on Monday. The GOP heads of the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees pointed out specific areas where they believed that Clinton had lied to Congress under oath. These lawmakers claimed the Democratic nominee lied at least four separate times during her appearance before the House Select Committee on Benghazi. Although the FBI has declined to indict Clinton for mishandling classified information, Monday's letter indicates the GOP's continued insistence on pursuing legal consequences. The Oversight Committee also released a 2.5-minute video highlighting apparent inconsistencies in Clinton's testimony. The Justice Department is currently reviewing information and is willing to take appropriate action should they find reason to.
All right, part of that video that they're talking about, too, has already been showing up in ads against Hillary Clinton as well. So here again, she's been caught lying red-handed, right? Caught lying red-handed, and yet she's getting a pass again from the FBI. She's getting a pass from everybody. Now, they're asking the same Justice Department that won't prosecute her for the emails and the server, they're asking her to prosecute for perjury. You know that's not going to go anywhere, but at least they're making that attempt. What else did Hillary Clinton do yesterday? She wanted to blame her use of the private email server on what? On Colin Powell. Derek, you got track four. Let's go with that.
Hillary Clinton is pointing the finger at Colin Powell for her private email trouble. The New York Times is reporting that during her July interview with the FBI, Clinton reportedly told them that it was Powell who advised her to use her own personal email account. The New York Times also corroborates the claim, citing information from an advanced copy of the book Man of the World, The Further Endeavors of Bill Clinton. An excerpt at a 2009 dinner party from the book reportedly reads, Powell told her to use her own email, as he had done, except for classified communications. In a statement to Reuters, Powell's office said that he had no recollection of the conversation, but, quote, did write former Secretary Clinton an email memo describing his use of his personal AOL email account for unclassified messages and how it vastly improved communications within the State Department. Powell has said that his use of personal email was prompted by the State Department not having a fully functional email system when he joined in 2001.
Okay, number one, I'm amazed that they didn't have a fully functioning email system in 2001. That's the government, for crying out loud. But anyways, but the part you should hear from that was when he said, except for classified information. And Hillary Clinton, according to James Comey, the director, did use send and receive classified information on her private email server and account. So once again, it's Hillary Clinton being treated special and being treated differently than those of us, the rest of us. And here's a case in point. A U.S. Navy sailor facing prison time over photos. He had six photos he took with his cell phone while he was inside a nuclear attack submarine. They were like selfies, right? Well, unfortunately, inside a nuclear submarine is classified information, even if it's just the bulkhead or something. And so Petty Officer First Class Christian Saucier, 29, will be sentenced this week in federal court, having pleaded guilty in May to unlawful retention of national defense information. It was a charge leveled against him under the 1917 Espionage Act. 10-year Navy veteran and machinist aboard the USS Alexandria, Saucier was charged with his cell phone after his cell phone with several photos taken inside the attack submarine was found in the trash in March of 2012. Six photos on his phone, and he's got to now spend a year in prison because he pleaded, he had his lawyer plead that, hey, you let Hillary Clinton off, no biggie, there was no intent there. And Hillary Clinton said she had no intent as well. Let me off. Well, he got sentenced this week. He got 1 year in prison for taking photos inside a nuclear submarine and leaving them on his phone. All right, so that to all you guys in the military, be careful what photos you take where and wherever, because you know what? You're not going to get the Clinton privilege, and that's what I hashtag out on Twitter right now. Clinton privilege, you take your white privilege and whatever, it's the Clinton privilege because she gets treated so much differently than everybody else. Navy sailor was sentenced Friday to a year in prison for taking the photos. And he's going to have to be monitored for a three-year period as well. So imagine that. How about monitoring Hillary Clinton for a three-year period? It's just amazing to me. And then let's see if we can get to the, Derek, how much time do we have? 3 minutes. Okay, so we're good. I wanted to stop and talk about, you've seen a lot of news this last week. Donald Trump's not capable of being in control of nuclear codes. People are worried that he's too temperamental, that he's not qualified to be that in charge of the nuclear codes. Well, we want to talk about old foot and mouth Joe Biden. You got, that would be track five. Let's play. This is Joe talking about Donald Trump being unqualified. And listen very carefully to what he says.
And I can say without hesitation, my word is a Biden. No major party nominee in the history of the United States of America has, now don't cheer or quiet, just listen, has known less or been less prepared to deal with our national security than Donald Trump. Someone who lacks this judgment cannot be trusted. There's a guy that follows me right back here, has the nuclear codes. So God forbid anything happened to the president and I had to make a decision.
All right, well, there you go, Derek. Let's stop right there. So anyways, he's outing his own nuclear code carrier with him. Imagine that. The stupidity is just incredible. All right, so we're done. Until next week, make sure you go to thedailydrift.com and look us up. And email me, Gary@thedailydrift.com, if you have questions. See you then.